Check.
Check, check, check.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's start the meeting around 6 o'clock. The work session, our first August meeting. My agenda. Tony's here. He's talking with Al about something. He should be out here any second. Cyber insurance, David Raleigh's going to talk about this later. Chairs for Highway Department. We might as well get into that. This kind of surprised me as a request out of the blue. I guess some time ago, back when I think Gene was still highway superintendent, a sales rep came in and identified our break room chairs as not OSHA compliant because they didn't have five legs. They only had four.
I mean, if you'd like, I can bring you up to speed on why this came on.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. That bit of news I didn't know, but I was trying to remember the highway. He's a nice guy. He basically said that I was at a safety committee, but I'm a member of the safety committee, so this was like, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? And he just pointed out that our chairs are non-compliant because they have four legs as opposed to these five. So they're office chairs, you know, like something like this. And the four legs means you can tip back. That's why they're not. Actually, it's PESH.
Oh, PESH. I'm sorry, not OSHA. You're right.
Because OSHA doesn't apply to the public sector. So we all agree at that meeting. I said, fine, get rid of your chairs this afternoon, and take chairs from our break. You know, we have some in the back or here. And that was the last I heard of that until Dave sent that email around suggesting that we replace the expensive chairs with additional expensive chairs. My response to that was everybody can sit on these chairs eating a sandwich. That's what the office staff here does. Your break room here has these black chairs, and we have more chairs, more black plastic chairs than I think we know what to do with. Dina showed me in the back. They're just stacked up and they're not being used. So I think we could save a bunch of money and just send over to the highway department if they need more, as many as they want.
I completely agree. There's no reason why spending money when we have plenty of chairs. And they're only going to be sitting in that chair for 15, 30 minutes. You know.
Oh, we all.
Yeah. So, you know.
What's the five? I don't understand.
So look at these legs, Tony. PESH is basically saying if you're going to have movable chairs or chairs on wheels,
you've got to have five legs. Okay. I was going to say, what?
You can't go back on these, but on the older office chairs only have four. Once they have, they were purchased however long ago, and they only have four. I hope they're not in that room. I hope Jerry took them out.
I don't know.
Because it's a PESH. It's not only PESH. I mean, someone could get hurt.
That's the chair that they're looking at.
Ooh. $320 each?
No. What was the number? It was
Martin. It was Martin.
Al Martin.
Yeah, Al Martin. That's what it is. And I complimented him for bringing it up.
I think there were 100 and
138
bucks or something a chair.
I looked at the number. That's what it was.
My guess is that the chairs that they had probably came from this building when they bought it, and they had extra chairs and they just moved them over there. I called Steve D'Arcangelo to see what kind of chairs their break room had, and they had a bunch of odds and end chairs, and he wasn't even aware of the PESH requirement. I think if you went around Onondaga County and looked in the break rooms of most highway departments, you probably would see a mix of odds and end chairs, similar to what you're sitting in, and you know.
Right.
Well, the email from Dave Raleigh said $144.99 per chair for 14 chairs he wanted to purchase.
Yeah.
So.
So, you know, we could do one or two. I don't know. It's not an emergency right now. It's not like they're. You know, the summer's a slower time for these guys. A lot of these guys take vacation time, and Like for today, for example, they took the day off. They use today as a floating day. So on any given week, you may have 3, 4, 5 guys off, just off. The concern that they would probably have would be when they're plowing in the wintertime and when they come back on a plow shift, they've been out 3.5, 4 hours, and there's a break, they're tired, they'd probably prefer a more comfortable chair than something like this. And that warrants some consideration. Most of us have been out on those plow routes.
You're tired when you get back.
They're tired because they're out in the worst weather. And you know what it is to drive in snow, in bad weather. It's like white knuckle, especially when you got a couple tons of salt behind you. So that bears some consideration. They're not typical break room chairs, although they, in the summertime, they're probably fine with these kinds of chairs.
So they have a couch. I'm trying to picture the break it because they have other furniture in there besides those chairs around the table.
I haven't been in there in a while.
Well, I guess my sense is similar to yours, Joe. I'm still leery about, or not leery, but wondering why a highway staff person needs a chair that's different than anybody else. But the person that should be trying to sell us on buying these kinds of chairs is the highway superintendent. He's not here. So until I want to go on record as being wanting to ensure that for the time being, the chairs that they used to use are out of that room, and these chairs are there. That has to be because we have a PESH flashlight looking at us or a spotlight looking at us. And until such time as the highway superintendent can make the case for why stackable chairs are not appropriate for the long term, I'm perfectly happy to support stackable chairs.
Yeah, and we, you know, we're going into, I don't think it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going into budget time, and this is certainly an item that we could consider for next year's budget.
But I guess I just don't want to lose the sight of the fact that the safety committee made a point to say at the last meeting, and Dave will corroborate this, that those chairs have to be removed.
Yeah, yep.
So I don't want to be worried that they're still there.
Yeah, I think they were, and I think
they're in the equipment area at this point in time. There's a stack with them.
I mean, they should be thrown out,
just.
I think we have to declare them surplus.
Declare them surplus.
Or whatever, because we can't use them legally.
Yep. All right, so we'll just put that on hold for now. It will come out of the it won't come out of the highway budget.
No, it's.
But it's a highway department need that I think needs to be articulated by the highway superintendent. I would agree with you, Bob. Mm-hmm. All right, David's not here yet. Vending machines. Tony here. Can you grab them?
And while we're waiting for that, I just saw the last minute before this meeting started a back and forth with from planning. Is there anything we have to do with Collington Point? Is there anything?
Nothing.
Okay, good.
Nothing's been submitted, so, you know.
Okay.
I sent you a copy of the agreement out there, the fees.
The what?
The park fees.
Yes.
Signed. I sent you a copy of that.
When did you do that?
A week ago, at least.
All right, I may have missed that.
I emailed it to you.
Okay, I'll go. We're going to have to go into executive session. I could probably check that out.
Look, I mean, Karen basically.
I mean, there's a laundry list of things that need to be settled before we can. So at least that's one box that can be checked out.
Yeah, and if it's not there, I can send you another one.
Okay.
But did we all read that note from Karen? I mean, it's basically saying, has Collington Point not fulfilled their obligations after being tabled at the last meeting? We're on building permit number 4 with 1 to go and are wondering when this will be back on the agenda for the acceptance of road and utilities.
Yeah, I talked to her. I just said, Karen, don't worry about it.
Okay, good.
I mean, if it's not on the agenda, it's not being considered. I said, just don't sign anything.
Yeah.
Don't sign.
Excellent.
No OC permits. Not until we... until we get the agreements.
All right, we're all set on that then.
Is Tony coming?
So
Oh, Tony. Tony? Tony? I'm going blind. Yeah, no kidding. When did you get that?
Yeah, yesterday.
Drill sergeant?
Yeah. Did you join the Marines or something?
They cut it tight.
Get some sun.
Looks good over there, by the way.
I'm beat.
I was over there twice today.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks really good.
We put some work into it.
Yeah. So we're going to need some help, though, next week. I'll put it out to the board, anybody that wants to join us. There's a fair amount of caulking that needs to be done next week, probably around Tuesday.
Wednesday. That'll probably be Wednesday. We'll do it after we set spray features Tuesday. Tuesday setting the above-grade spray features, probably Wednesday caulk.
All right. You don't want to treat it and then put features on top of treated concrete?
I'm going to seal it Monday night. I'm going to put the spray features on. None of the spray features are on the expansion joints, and then we can caulk.
Okay. So Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
I'd be happy to help. I will not be in town next week. So.
Okay. I'll be there. Maybe I'll take a personal day.
I'll be in town Wednesday. Tuesday.
Stop by.
I will.
Stop by. My hand will be tired by then.
Yeah, it really, and after tomorrow, it's going to look amazing. Compared to, it's been a true work site up until today, really. Mounds of dirt.
They've been flattened.
Equipment around, but half of the landscape, and not landscaping, but flattening work was done today, so it makes it look a lot cleaner. Tomorrow they'll finish a lot of that up, and then the fence is going up too, so that'll really define the perimeter.
Well, we're talking about...
I've been going there, you know, whatever you want to stop by.
Tony, the things that we discussed at that last meeting that Joe and I attended, they all falling into place in terms of where the stage is going to go, first aid supplies, and
that.
I got a first aid.
I'm just throwing out. We talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, I ordered a first aid station to be put at the park, not only for the spray part, but for my workers as well. It's going to do a dual purpose. As far as the staging, we're going to try to go back with Abbott's. They have a little wagon that will serve the purpose, smaller than what...
City of Syracuse was going to work with us and try to get their big stage, but we don't have that kind of entertainment. It's a massive stage.
Yeah, they think it's huge. It's too big for what we need.
Yeah, but I'd like to thank them for offering.
Invitations have gone out, or are going to be going out, inviting people. And then
we have the town board of Van Buren and the village board on that list.
Yeah.
Ruth Seiko asked me about it, and I said that hopefully you'll be giving an invitation.
Yeah, yeah, they'll go out tomorrow. We had final approval on the list today.
And then we, before you guys tonight, we'll have staffing so that we'll staff the spray park, and those guys will be hands-on at the opening. We'll have pretty much all my staff hands-on at the opening. And then we'll take care of parking and traffic and all that stuff too. So we should be good.
Would you ever end up deciding as far as Smoky Hollow Road, as far as parking? Going to put up no parking signs?
I'm going to put up no parking signs on our side of it. But as far as the other side, it's a little more flat and level. So I don't mind if they're on that side. I just don't want somebody parking on our side, opening the door, and that ditch being right there. So.
And then what about... an interface with village police?
I want to have a public safety meeting with GBAC and the police chief in one meeting. We're still working everything out. We just met with the fireworks company. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an amazing display. That's going to be a lot of fun.
What date is it again?
Friday, August 16th.
Friday, August 16th.
Starts at noon.
Mm-hmm. Noon, ribbon cutting at 6.
Yep.
And well, then, are we going to do anything at noon, though, in terms of a ribbon cutting, or just open the gates?
Let them go.
Yeah.
Turn it on.
Turn it on.
Okay, good.
Food trucks.
Yep.
As well as, is there going to be any brick-and-mortar restaurants locally represented?
No.
No? Diner? No? Okay.
So, are you prepared to, I mean, this is the last meeting before we have this thing, right? Or is there
another? No, we have one more.
Oh, there was one more?
Okay. Yeah. That Thursday before.
Oh, yeah, right, yep. The 15th. Okay. Are you going to mention it at all? You should mention it tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Good.
What else?
Vending.
Vending. Yeah, we tabled the vending.
Yeah, so I have an opportunity to purchase a vending machine from the company that is servicing us for the soda machines. Up to you guys. We would own it. We would stock it. The Parks and Recreation Department would oversee it. I'm thinking right now, while we have the chance to get it, we could get it and put it down in the break room for the time being. And if it's something that I can move eventually to the park, I'd like to move it to the park for vending up there. But it's something that we can get right now. He has one in stock. He has one available. And I just wanted to put it out to you guys.
Is it refrigerated?
It is not.
Were you able to figure out how much we're spending right now for the person that's maintaining our existing?
We don't get anything from anybody.
No, right now this is what we have right now. We have a box that's filled with
snacks,
right?
M&Ms and crackers and anything, just random snacks, and then a little honor box where you put money in. I don't know who maintains it, who's the recipient of that money. It just appears and disappears and comes back. It's very loose. It's been that way, I think, probably for years.
So it's a town employee that's doing it?
No.
Do you know who it is, Dave?
No.
So nobody
it's a mystery. It's a local company, but I don't know who it is, to be honest with you.
Right.
We don't have an agreement with anybody.
They just asked to get in the break room.
We don't make anything off it. It's there as a convenience for the employees.
Right.
All I can tell you is that box, it's probably the same box, too. What's down at Lock Street?
It's all taped up. You should see it. I mean, yeah, it should probably go in some like history
but that arrangement
museum for
was
Alexander.
Here, when I came to work here in 1991, now, how long before that they started it? I have no idea. But
was it 1891?
Might as well have been.
I was born in 92, so
Tony, it's been here longer than you've been on the planet.
What are you asking us to consider? I'm confused.
To purchase a vending machine that the Parks Department would oversee and maintain.
For
temporarily, I would put it in the staff break room and
vending
oversee
machine
it.
For like candy bars.
Candy bars, chips, things like that, yes.
I think it would be fine for that. I don't see how it works in the park. And just because it's not refrigerated. If you put candy bars in there and it's a 95-degree day, parents are going to be upset with you when their parents get their hands on their kids.
I think
kids
it'd be a little smarter not to put candy bars in there in the middle of summer.
Well, yeah. Whatever. I mean, I think what my point is, whatever snack machine, you're going to want varied snacks that can be refrigerated. But I think for the break room, really,
is there a place to put it in a park that you can secure it?
Yeah,
I was just gonna say.
Yeah, we have the community room. We have room. We have a staff room up at the park now. So,
well, what purpose is that gonna serve then if the public can't get at it?
Well, I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves. This is a snack machine that's being considered for the break room that Parks is gonna manage for the employees here. In the future,
right now,
if you want to look, that's something that. Down the road, if you want to cross the bridge to have snacks available through a snack machine, that's something we can consider down the road. But this is something that would, I guess,
internal.
Yeah, it's for internal use that the parks are going to maintain.
And what about the revenue?
The incremental revenue that we generate will probably either go towards additional snacks. It'll go into the general fund outside of the money we need to buy more snacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll pay for itself over time, and then
I'd work that out with David of how to stock it and where the revenue would go.
Okay.
But we would maintain the key. We would maintain the money, and then I'd work with David on how to handle it.
I'm a big fan of peanut M&Ms.
Me too. I like those.
You know where you should put it? Right outside Park's window. I was in Ace Hardware the other day. They put that snack rack right at the cash register, and these kids were throwing fits. They wanted M&Ms. They wanted peanuts. You'll sell a ton of candy outside.
See how many stores? How many stores?
We're not getting ahead of ourselves, right?
How many stores do that? They put.
Oh, yeah. They know.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard because my kids did the same thing. This poor dad was trying to get his kids all together, and where's buying Twizzlers?
240 something. What was the cost?
I think it's 232.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's, you know, it's.
If we ever needed service, he can service it. He can do everything. He just basically brings it, drops it off, turns over the key, and if we ever had a problem, just call him.
Are there electronic components, or is it just a spring? Just a.
I think it's push button and it spirals. And
okay, so there is electronic. Okay.
It's a small unit.
Okay. Thanks for being patient.
Add a motion?
Yeah.
If you guys are fine, I'll add G.
I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. I think it's a good thing, but you're saying you would use private money to stock the machine, right? Your own money. Whose money
is it? No, the people that buy it.
Petty cash.
He's going to have to use
it. Right, but you're going to have to upfront some money, and then some individual is going to have to take money out of their wallet to buy the Snicker bars. Where's the money going to come from to stock the machine initially?
He's going to have to take it out of petty cash or something. And then at some point, when the vending machine has made enough money.
Okay, so what we're saying is we're going to use town money to stock this thing.
But once
that's done and replenished, then it pays for itself. I just want to make sure, off for the record, that that's what we're doing.
It's kind of like, it sounds like what David's explaining is the same concept that what we did with our summer playground program. We bought snacks for the kids, like a little camp store where they bought Gatorades, waters, things like that. And then basically when the money came back in, it all went back to David. Yeah,
it's an accounting.
Yeah, so David will allocate X number of dollars towards the purchase of the snacks. You'll keep track of the revenue generated. You'll report it back to David, and we'll just keep an accounting of that.
Fine.
I mean, it's not much different than when we buy bottled water for the staff, except this we're generating revenue off of it. So I'm fine with it. 200, so get a motion to...
232.
Purchase... a snack machine
and what was that soda machine that I saw in the entrance here?
That's the same company.
What's that
Coffee King. Basically when I tried to get a vending machine up at the park, it wasn't ideal for them because the park is seasonal.
Yeah.
And to bundle it, I offered if this would be a location, if they felt it was a good fit, and he said it was a good fit, and he felt that the courtroom would benefit more because people are sitting and waiting during court than the traffic flow that comes through the main gates. But we need to move it, so we'll end up moving it probably out in the main lobby. So when the product dies down or sells down, or when he goes to exchange it, we'll end up moving it to the main lobby.
And who retains the revenues from the soda machine?
We get a small profit from sales from that.
Why do we have to
What's the amount?
200. Right now it was 10%, but
232.
Oh, but he's going to look at it and see how much sales that we're doing. So it was a 2-for-1 deal to try to encourage him.
But you wanted a soda machine in this building as well.
I didn't so much want it in the building, but it was kind of more for him to get a soda machine at the park, okay. And that's where I wanted
at
the soda
the park.
Machine. Yeah.
But there is going to be one at the park?
There is one now.
Oh,
yes.
There is. Okay.
So I bundled the town building and the park.
Gotcha.
To try to make it worth his while coming out here and servicing it.
Tony, just because I think this is for your department, I'm just going to jump to Resolution A. The GEMS program, GEMS instructors, is that a parks program or a...
It's the same program we were in last year.
Okay. What are we specializing in? I just don't remember. So
girls engaged in math, science, technology.
Okay.
They're teachers from the school district.
Yep.
And when we first ran the program, it was...
It's a collaboration with the school district and us.
We would reimburse the school.
Okay.
But they wanted us to hire right?
It was, yeah, it was
they
weird.
Wanted to
so
hire
that
them
basically
as
now what we need to do is we need to put them on our payroll so they become basically employees of ours. But we're paying them the school rate, which would they would have gotten paid.
And they'll this will pay for itself, this program usually.
Yes.
It's a self-funded program. Okay. Actually, we generate revenue off of this, don't we?
But yeah, we make $10 each registration.
How many students do we have signed up so far?
Excellent question. Off the top of my head, I think there's 40 in one and I think close to 50 in another. So 90 girls for 2 weeks. And these are just girls.
Mm-hmm.
From, I think, anywhere from second grade to middle school.
Nice.
I want to say.
When does the program start? Like, so
the first session's already started and going this week.
Okay.
And then the next one will go mid-August for a week.
That's awesome. No, I couldn't remember. I was looking at the gems. I'm like, I...
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same program, same instructors as last year. I budgeted more in my payroll account to make sure that I cover the cost of the GEMS program. And the nice thing is that we got a grant too from Kiwanis. It helped us in funding, and also with that, we'll be able to pay for all the 2 weeks of supplies for the GEMS program and. There was money left over to give a young girl a scholarship that couldn't afford it.
That's awesome.
For each program.
That's great.
Cool. Now, are these all teachers from the district?
Yes.
Or how do
yep.
we?
Okay. Yep. Yep. They're all B-Bill teachers, locals.
Okay.
Teachers. Tony, I think this is an incredible program, so you're to be commended. Well, everybody involved is to be commended. Are we alone in doing this, or is it happening?
No, actually, how it all started is they approached us because they couldn't run a program like this through the school district, so we're partnering with them.
I mean, is it a national thing, GEMS, or is it?
Well, it's based off the STEMS program,
okay.
But they come up with GEMS and basically just added the G for girls.
So is it a Beeville thing, or is it happening elsewhere?
Other schools are doing similar stuff. You're probably familiar with the STEMs and all that. Other schools are doing something
STEM's
similar,
been around
but
a while.
Yeah. But this is pertaining more towards home, using our teachers, our girls, our school.
I mean, I think it's so phenomenal, and I know, presuming Ashley will do a spectacular write up on this because it's just one of those things that oh my goodness, it's like. You know, this is, you know, promoting academic excellence and girls and math and science. I don't know if you've picked up the phone and called the other paper in town, the Post Standard, but, you know, but I can't imagine them not wanting to do this.
They've done some PR, too, themselves, and they do an excellent job.
I had your story when you guys did it last year.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was phenomenal, but it's like... We all, you know, this is really tooting our horn. I mean, this not just us, Beeville schools. I mean, we're in collaboration with these teachers that obviously they get paid, but they're taking time out of their summer to do this.
They do an excellent job.
Yeah.
How about B?
Those are going to be our new staff for the park aid, park attendant, spray park attendants.
Okay.
Those four will be hands-on for Friday.
For the remainder of the summer.
Mm-hmm. I think the only one that has a real, real conflict is Michael's got to go back to school early. He's going down to Binghamton.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And remind me, we budgeted all this?
Yes. Yep. That is budgeted for. And we haven't touched a dime of that money so far.
We had anticipated that it would have been completed prior to this.
So
it's well-funded.
Okay. Good.
He's good too. Any other questions? I think there's one more thing on there. Any questions on that?
What's up, Jim?
Do I understand that we have a vendor who is providing machine at the park?
Oh, the Pop Warner agreement, yeah.
Yes.
Is providing this machine out here?
Yes.
This machine is going to remain in that site or is going
no.
out front?
No, it's going to go out front eventually.
Going out front.
Eventually.
Eventually.
And if it doesn't produce, it's going to go away.
Excuse me?
If it doesn't produce, it's going to go away.
And we are going to buy a machine for SNAS. Why doesn't he want to keep his own machine located?
Because we don't buy a lot of SNAS.
Yeah, snacks. Snacks don't move like drinks do. Snacks are a little bit slower moving. So it's not worth his while.
So here's another consideration with the situation that we have right now. It's an open box, and it has peanuts in it and
Cracker Jacks.
Cracker Jacks that draw mice.
It does though.
That can draw mice. We just want something that's a little bit more contained, a little bit more secure, defined. I mean, I feel bad for the person that's losing the business after 40-something, 40 years of...
Too bad we don't know who it is.
I have no idea who it is.
Are you sure it's not for a veterans organization or something like that?
I don't know. If it is, they're making like 10 bucks a year.
I mean, I see the guy come in with the box, but I don't
there's no label on the box.
There might be.
He just asked to get in the break room, and we let him in.
And
he puts new box.
We just let him in.
Can somebody ask who he is?
I walk in with a box of snacks.
If you walk in with a box of candy, you can come in the break room. That's all I got to say. Yeah. We're not going to close the door.
Yeah, we pick and choose our battles around here. I don't think he's going to hurt us with his Snickers.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
And then the last thing is just the Pop Warner agreement for 2019.
Oh, yeah. Has anything changed in it?
No.
Same?
The only thing that changed was the park attendance fee that they have to pay for. If it's above and beyond our regular hour, Pop Warner will pick up the fee for a park attendant.
We did that last year.
Yeah. It went from $13 to $14.
Which would be great because we gate the park.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I have just two other non-related things.
To me?
No, not.
Oh, all right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
I missed the last meeting, so I don't know if you guys dealt with this. And Al, this is a question to you, maybe. 6:20, we talked about buying or doing the engineering for the oil and water separator in the highway garage, and then violation of EPA tank inspection, show a plan by July 18th.
Yeah, we are. So we had the testing done on the 29th, which was Tuesday. Lo and behold, we failed. I have another quote to do some additional work. We have to replace a probe. We have to replace the fill can in the gas pump. I'm drawing a blank on how much that is. We should probably print that, and we should probably add a resolution for it. Thank you for reminding me, Bob.
You've been a little busy.
Let me hear, if you guys want to take a quick look at this spreadsheet, this is the streetlight buyout and the bond debt service calculation, the back two pages for the two companies that gave us lump sum bids, and I'll go print that other thing for the tanks. We can add a resolution for that.
Wow. Sharp.
So we had two that came in, Danforth and Tanko. What happened? Didn't we have a third in the first go around?
Yeah, there was three.
Someone dropped off?
I think because of the lump sum pricing, they dropped out.
Ah. Wow. Big difference.
Yeah. Mm. This is for apples for apples.
It's all on the front page.
Yeah.
And we got over the concern about being responsible for poles.
That I've got to ask the committee if that was considered. If we have information on the insurance aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
the quote on the repairs that are needed for us to pass the inspection. Parts are $2,222.40, and they have a day labor rate for a crew of $2,000, so for a total of $4,222.40 to bring us into compliance with these testing requirements that were included in our notice of violation from the New York State DEC. Can we add a resolution? We need to add a resolution for that.
Yeah.
It's authorized S&W services.
Wait. So authorize S&W services to perform
petroleum bulk storage tank spill buckets and gas probes.
Petroleum
bulk storage, gas spill bucket, and gas probe.
Bulk storage and gas bucket.
Gas spill bucket.
Gas spill bucket.
And gas probe. An amount of $4,222.
Gas spill bucket and gas probe?
Yep.
And the amount of
$4,222.40.
All right, and that gets us compliant?
That should get us to compliance.
So that's different than the oil and water separator, right?
It's different than the oil and water separator. I asked Steve Sainer for a quote to do some base maps and mapping. I've drawn a blank, and if I got a response back from him or not.
Okay, so we're still waiting on that.
We authorized Plumlee to do the design. I'm just waiting for Steve to give me a quote on the base mapping. It shouldn't. It should be less than $1,000. It's not a lot of.
But nothing that we can act on tonight.
No.
Okay.
I'm assuming being less than $1,000, we can just go ahead and do that as part of the project budget.
So this petroleum bulk storage, this is just for us to continue with our, was it Speedy's permit?
No, petroleum bulk storage permit.
And it's good for how long?
We have to do this testing annually with a new mandate.
Hopefully this will be the last time we have to do this.
We won't have to test the spills buckets anymore because they're putting in a reverse check valve, a check valve in the pump rather than the tank, so that the line is not full all the time. The line will be empty, so if there's a leak in the line, you're not going to have suction in the tank. The pump isn't going to pump the fuel. So the only thing we'll have to test is the spill buckets. We won't have to do the gas probe test anymore.
So, okay.
But we might get out of the business of doing our own business.
Hopefully by next year, I'm actually in next year's budget, I'm going to include tank removal in the buildings and grounds budget for over there to decommission that fueling system and get an intermunicipal agreement with the
school.
How much do you think that would cost just to remove it out?
Expensive.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there shouldn't be any contamination. So, I mean, Plumlee is doing the tank closure report for our other tank for, I think it was $3,800. Then you've got some fees with the DEC, and then, you know, a contractor to remove it and dispose of the tank, the pumps, and the, you know, demo the fuel island and repave. So, conservatively, $15,000 to $20,000, probably closer to 20, realistically, just because of the demo cost and backfill. And
would we? And Plumlee would have to take care of it themselves. We wouldn't be using our own guys. We'd be using.
We would be using Plumlee to do the tank closure report.
Contract.
Yeah, we would contract. Yeah, we would contract with a. You have to be licensed to do petroleum work.
Okay.
We aren't licensed. Going to try to get around that with a 1,000-gallon oil-water separator tank, and hopefully we can pull that ourselves. I've asked for permission from the DEC. Haven't received it yet, but hopefully they'll allow us to, see as it's just an oil-water separator tank that really has only had water in it for,
right.
You know, as long as it's been in service, they'll let us pull that one.
You'd pull that tank too?
Well, that tank's small. the that tank's only 1,000 gallons. The one that we're taking out right now, the oil water separator tank.
Yeah.
The other tank is, I want to say, a 15,000 gallon tank. We don't have equipment sized appropriately to take something like that out of the ground.
Okay.
That's just the bottom line. We don't have the...
All right, so that'll read, can I get a motion to authorize S&W Services to perform petroleum bulk storage and gas spill bucket, as well as gas probe, replace the gas probe?
Yeah.
Well,
gas spill bucket replacement and gas probe replacement.
And gas probe replacement.
Is that some of the items that we addressed?
No. No, this is... We didn't know about it. We just got the notice of violation in June.
Okay.
Street light conversion. So the front page of this is the lump sum proposals that we got for both from Tanco Lighting and Danforth, far right-hand columns. As you can see, Danforth is a little over $300,000 lower than Tanco. They've given us detailed proposals and spec or cut sheets on the equipment they're proposing to use. It looks like good equipment, good warranty. They're going to pay the bond cost with National Grid for the fuse disconnect. At this time, Dave and I have talked about this, and Bob was okay with it as well before he left. With that much of a price difference, it's hard to. Well, I like Tanco in that they've had a more experience dealing with National Grid. Danforth has done plenty of other projects as well. Maybe not as many with National Grid, but their cost is significantly lower. The next two sheets give you estimated debt service costs. So Danforth, if we went with Danforth, the estimated debt service would be $166,737 a year. Right now we pay National Grid about $203,000 annually just in maintenance costs. I would estimate that the savings in electricity going to LEDs would more than offset the cost of having a maintenance contract with a third party contractor to do our maintenance once we do the buyout. So I would say we're going to save, if we go with Danforth, we'll save about $35,000 a year with estimated debt service. Tanco works out to be just about a wash. The debt service amount is about, saves us about $70 a year. So it's not a lot. There's still an energy savings cost there, but I think that gets eaten up by the or will be covered by the energy savings just from converting to LED. You're going to have about a 67% savings on energy costs. Right now we're paying National Grid approximately $60,000 a year in energy costs. So
okay, so this is just an overview of the cost to swap out the conversion. Or to provide
this includes all the energy. This includes all the energy that energy engineering contract documents, helping us put a spec together, because going forward we are going to have to implement a local law and specifications for developers to provide these lights with new developments. So they're going to help us with that. They're going to help us with the negotiating with National Grid for the buyout. I feel that the National Grid buyout estimate is very high. And there's got to be some wiggle room there. They'll also help us with a NYSERDA grant that should offset 10% of the equipment cost. So,
now maintenance that'll be worked in, because we're going to have to establish an annual maintenance
contract.
So this is just part of the process. We're right now choosing a vendor to work with to determine all that.
Correct. So this resolution, as it reads, is really authorizing us to start final contract negotiations with Danforth and iron it out. We're not signing a contract with them. We're just moving forward. They're the, you know, the
they're vendor.
They're our vendor of choice from the RFP that we did.
You know, it's like one of those deals. Like it's like sounds too good to be true. So why isn't everybody doing this?
People, I think there's a lot of people that are, yeah, a lot of people are working
City
on
of Syracuse.
This. Yeah, there's
City
a lot
Syracuse
of,
is doing a smarter system.
They're doing system. A more vault system than we are because they're including streetlights.
They're putting sensors in. They're doing a lot of, which is something that's available to
they're
us.
They're calling it a smart grid, essentially, is what it
well,
is.
I think in the city they're going to use their poles, their lights, for other things.
Yeah.
All right. And they have the shot thing and the
shot locator. And,
yeah. But with the presumption, would you say $203,000 to National NIMO, National Grid? That of that $203,000, we're getting something for that money. They've got to be doing something on an annual basis.
They're doing our maintenance.
I know, but does the maintenance actually come up to $203,000? We suspect that it doesn't.
Oh my gosh, no.
I would send them a service request maybe one a month.
Right. So I guess what I'm trying to get to is what is a realistic maintenance cost?
I feel that the 67% energy savings will be more than enough to cover a maintenance contract for
which would be
around $40,000.
So we would contract with an outside entity?
Yeah, a third party contractor to do our maintenance. I mean, a $40,000 contract to take care of 12 light calls a year is a pretty sweet gig.
Would you do that, or would you go a la carte and just be charged per service call, and just set aside money every year?
You can bid it up.
We can look at it either way. I mean, that's down the road. Let's get through the contract negotiations for the swap out first, and then we'll iron out the details on a maintenance contract once we're closer to even starting construction. I mean, the reality of it is we're not going to start construction on this until spring.
Right.
And so when someone totally 100% demolishes a pole with a car, are we buying insurance? And is that
their insurance pays us for it? We file a claim against their insurance.
So we can't lose here, is what you're saying.
This is a good deal for the town.
This is a really, really good deal.
I mean, the life expectancy on these fixtures is 15 to 20 years.
Okay, so when the lightning hits the pole and knocks it down, I'm just trying to
you
find.
You gotta go say a prayer and ask God to come up with some
money. Do we ever have to replace
our insurance? Seeing as it's town-owned infrastructure, we could make an insurance on a claim on our insurance.
I would just want to make a note that David, when we're buying insurance, that we make sure our provider understands we own light poles now, and they ought to be covered.
Well, that's got to be considered in the total package.
Yeah, I don't see it being a significant cost increase.
This is great.
I don't see it being a significant cost increase.
Hasn't been asked.
It has not been asked, but like I said, the resolution is only authorizing us to start contract negotiations. I'm sure Dave can make that phone call before we're ready to sign the contract.
Dave, are we good on this motion? Any other questions for Al?
I'm good with the motion. So this is a 10-year loan. Basically.
This is a 10-year bond.
Yeah,
15 to 20 years.
20 years. So after that, the annual payment is back into the, which just helps.
The annual debt service payment should go down. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
there will be no debt service, but the annual lighting district payment will go down. I mean, we'll still want to be saving money so that when a light dies, we have money to replace it, but we're not replacing the whole pole, housing, fuse disconnect. All we're replacing is the actual fixture.
Right.
Which is significantly less money than the pole, fuse disconnect. And
the only thing that I would ask is that when we're getting ready to pull the trigger on the bond resolution, and maybe we can work with the media on this, I want this thing explained in detail. I don't want the public to misconstrue any of this. This is nothing but good, and it needs to be explained thoroughly.
I got one more question. So who owns the wiring for underground from pole to pole?
So our poles are all near a transformer.
Okay.
So we would own the wire from the fuse disconnect to the pole and up the pole.
And we don't own it now. National Grid owns it.
National Grid owns it all.
So we own that.
Correct.
With this thing. Is that any kind of liability?
There's liability in anything that we own.
Yeah, there's liability in anything that we own. I don't see it being a significant liability from a
Negligence is the biggest risk.
Yeah.
We're negligent. If we know that there's something wrong.
If we know there's a problem and we don't fix it, then that's a risk.
Well, I guess, and again, I'm not trying to find reasons not to support this because I support it 100%. I just want to make sure we're in safe territory here. Does wiring ever have to be replaced every 100 years?
Maybe every 100. I mean, it's not, unless rodents chew on it or a lightning strike or...
I mean, do you know if National Grid actually has a program where they're replacing underground wiring? Probably not, right?
No.
Okay. All right.
They don't have any... They're doing some replacement of above-grade cable at this point in time and putting it underground, but I've not heard of any routine maintenance program where they're replacing cables. If a cable fails, they replace it, but until a cable fails...
And if you guys want to...
They don't proactively.
Village of Baldwinsville converted 2 years ago to LEDs.
Only parts. Yeah, not the whole village. National Grid still owns the majority of the lights in the village.
Right, but that'll give you an idea of the type of light that we're looking at. And Village Square,
yep,
those are all LED village-owned lights.
Yep.
So, and they've been in place for...
12 years.
12 years. I don't know if one's gone out, but...
Good work.
So, all right, and Joe and I will contact Danforth and set up a meeting, and I've got some sample contracts for other projects, and we'll try to work out the details with them.
All right, thanks, Al. Thank you. Dave, you want to give us a report on cyber insurance?
Yeah. As you know, we had this on the agenda for the work session at the last meeting, and then we didn't talk about it because we didn't have enough information. I think I forwarded all the board members the email that we got from Hank Chapman concerning... his concern and wanting to make all his clients aware of that, you know, because of all the recent attacks, that there is a policy available to cover those kinds of things. So what I did was about a month ago or 5 weeks ago, I started the ball rolling to find out, you know, first of all, like, how much was it going to cost us to add this policy to our package? And then, so she had sent me an application. We filled it out, sent it in. She replied. I sent you all the email. I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not. But anyhow, one of my concerns was obviously at the beginning was, okay, what does this cover and what doesn't it cover? And then she answered it in the email as well. So she states that the policy would cover cyber attacks, loss of systems and extra expense, ransom for cyber extortion, credit monitoring for individuals whose personal information was compromised, digital data recovery cost, any third-party suits for a breach of personal information. So those are the kinds of things that this policy would cover. And the annual premium is $2,120 annually. I will say that we have room in the budget line for our insurance line. There's room there to include this without us having to move any money around or anything like that.
Is there a deductible on that?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
What's the deductible?
She didn't. Because the city just. I think the city.
She didn't say. Well, they had to pay a
$50,000
deductible.
Yeah. I just wonder what's the deductible.
I'll have to find that out.
That's
I don't
as much
know.
As the ransom one.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things they alluded to in the story. They said one of the clients paid the ransom.
Yeah.
So. They figured that the $50,000 was the ransom.
From what I've heard of these things, that the people asking for the ransom are not asking for huge amounts because they're dealing with smaller amounts because they're collecting the smaller amounts.
Right.
You know, you say I want $10 million. Well, you know, good luck.
I'll be honest with you. I've gotten emails here that have said that
you've been infected.
Yeah, and that you know.
send us, and like you said, they're asking for small amounts.
Yeah.
Send $1,600. If mm-hmm. you don't, then blah, 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 you know. And so, sir, I mean, I sir, just...
Yeah, we have a protocol. Some of that is just, you know, like, who's the king in Africa that's trying to, you know, some of that is... Some of them are legit, where yeah, Syracuse right. Technologies tells us...
Exactly.
That's spyware, don't open it, and then they yes. then they clean.
So, I mean, I immediately obviously got a hold of Syracuse Technologies. Yeah. And,
so I have a question. Would it affect our premium? Because we have a pretty good firewall.
Would it affect our premium? Yeah. It would,
it's going to go up.
It's going to $2,100.
No, what I'm saying is if they knew what our firewall and our IT system specifications were, is there a possibility that that might go down? I mean, I know you can't control human error with a firewall, but
yeah, don't know that either.
It's a question that might be worth asking.
Yep.
Who did the research on it, Hank?
I'm sure his assistant Shannon. I'm sure probably did, but I'll find out. I can. We don't need to act on this right now. So,
well, I mean, considering the cost and the protection and what's happened locally, I would suggest that we consider acting on it.
These are good questions, so I'd like to know about the
premium. Yeah. Does it include recovering the data, though, that's been stolen?
And I agree about acting on it.
Baltimore just had theirs done before City of Syracuse, and they paid $49 million.
It says digital data recovery.
And they still haven't received their data. And the ransomware, the people give you 40% of your data back. And then they turn it off the next day. So our system, actually, we have a complete standalone server off-site that is not connected to our network except for a one daily
backup.
Right.
Yep.
So we're...
But once it's in and that hooks up, that server is now compromised.
Well, what I'm saying is the firewall should stop.
All right, but this does say digital data backup.
But I'm concerned about the deductible before I vote on this, because if the deductible is huge, then we're going to be putting ourselves. Can we put this on the agenda for the next meeting?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, so we want to know what the
deductible and whether or not ransomware plays any part.
Well, not only what the deductible is, but is there a limit to how much they will cover?
Yeah.
What the limits are.
You know, is there an outside limit, like?
Yeah, how do they recover the data? I guess that would be the other question is if it's...
I mean, I think from a target perspective, I don't know. I don't know what they put in... I mean, maybe we're an easy target because we're small, or we're not a... I don't know what they're looking at.
I don't know that... As I said at the last meeting out there...
I'm sorry?
And will the insurance company pay in Bitcoin because these people want paid in Bitcoin?
Bitcoin, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Actually, the email I got, that's what they wanted me to pay in was Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, and one other question, maybe, and I didn't see this in the email, but are there any exclusions to this policy as well? That are any reasons that the insurance company will not pay?
Well, I asked her what does it cover, what doesn't it cover.
Yeah.
She didn't put anything in doesn't cover.
I would ask that question again just to...
All right.
Maybe she won't answer.
So the Bitcoin's a good question.
Yeah.
Because we have limited amounts of Bitcoin.
Very little.
Yeah. All right. Well, good answers to those questions.
Thanks,
Dave.
All right. So I was hoping to get to fit in an executive session on two personnel matters. We'll just add those at the end because it's 7 o'clock. Thanks, guys.